Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Tuesday, February 28, 2023. I hope you are well. I hope your week is off to a great start. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. I hope that you spent time, as I did on Saturday afternoon, around people who accept me for who I am, or at least pretend to. And of course, they live in different states. But, so when we get together, it seems like a wow, these people really like me. We've been through some things together. We've been through significant parts of our lives. Had different lives come together for a few semesters of graduate school. Anyway, I got together with some old friends on Saturday, and they made me feel like I'm okay the way I am. Anyway, hope you surrounded yourself with good people. Not good people, you know, because you might be a bad person and good people don't make you feel like you're most able to be yourself, you know. If you're a bad actor who listens to this podcast, I know that there are some, you might not like being around good people. The pressure might be too great. You might think that they're self-righteous and stressing you out to, quote, get with the program. So I'm not saying be around good people. I'm saying be around people who make you feel most like yourself, who allow you to feel most like you, and you don't have to manage your impression. You don't have to work to be someone you're not. You don't have to indulge in emotional labor. You do not have to put on a face, as they say. Anyway, it's a self-help, not a military history, self-help American hypocrisy comedy podcast this 28th day of February, the final day of Black History Month. I know, the shortest month of the year. I'm simply one other person who is saying that. I'm certainly not the first observer of that. Let's see. Tonight's limerick, which is very important. I don't want to deluge. I don't want to overwhelm you with promotional stuff. So I will just mention, come to Limerick. There are too many. I've overbooked the show. So if you come to Limerick, you're going to get to see eight comics doing like 8 minutes at a time, 8 minute sets. And you don't have to pay if you're in Atlanta, Georgia. All right. Zay Jordan is closing it out. Google Zay Jordan. Zay Jordan. I don't want to overwhelm you with relentless, especially if I have Chicagoans who are listening right now and are right about to turn the dial down, right about to mix down the podcast while I talk about Limerick. It's over, Chicago people. That's it. All I'm going to say is Zay Jordan is closing out the Limerick main show tonight. I think if you, by the way, have a song where it just fades out at the end, you haven't finished writing the song. I've written more than 50 songs in my life. And not one of them ends. And am I self-righteous about it? No, it's not my self-righteous. This is just what I believe about music. If the song continues and the producer just sort of turns the volume down and that's the end and we move to the next song or commercial or whatever it is, you haven't finished writing the song. And there are voluminous amounts of songs like that. I'm pretty sure Good Times, Bad Times, one of the, and it has to go on the very short list of greatest first album, song one, side one, song ones. That's Led Zeppelin's Hello to the World. Good Times, Bad Times. Bow now. Bow now. In the days. I'm pretty sure that song, which goes, it's just a force of nature. Let's put it that way. I'm pretty sure it ends with the producer just saying, like, all right, boys, that's enough. And it just goes, and it's like playing along at this level, and it's kind of like, and it's gone. And then whatever comes up next, I Can't Quit You. I'm not a Led Zeppelin master. I know a lot of Led Zeppelin songs. I know some deep cuts. Anyway, if you, and so much of that music, if you 70s, 80s, 90s, if you are listening to a song and it ends by just getting quieter, know that that song, know that the artist was lazy. Well, after Led Zeppelin, they're probably like getting laid too much to finish the song. Anyway, I'm done talking about Limerick for you Chicagoans. What I want to plug, just if I may, is the thing that most energizes me professionally right now, and that is What's Your Problem? I talked endlessly about it on the two podcasts ago, how it exceeded my expectations, and I think we all felt like, holy cow, we're onto something here. Well, I also mentioned that we're going to do it March 19th back at the Laughing Skull Lounge, and I had mentioned another date at the Punchline, which actually has been moved forward by 3 weeks or so, and we're doing, dude, just tell them, this Sunday at 6:30 p.m., at the Punchline in Atlanta, Georgia, we are doing What's Your Problem? Tickets are on sale at punchline.com. Or, you know, go there and it says, Joe Smith presents What's Your Problem? Buy some tickets. It's going to be Sunday afternoon. The same people are going to be with me. Zane Sharif is your warm-up comic. And I'm going to be joined by LeVar Walker, Flo So Amazing, and Nick Murphy, by the way, made an incredible, and had a birthday yesterday, made an incredible promo reel for us, which you can find online at Yes Joe Smith Instagram, at Nick Murphy's Instagram too. We are very excited with the way the promo reel came out, and hope that you come out. So that'll be the middle show. It'll be interesting also because the show, the Punchline and I, we thought we're going to do the 30th, and there might have been some misunderstanding, miscommunication, misadventure, as it were. And it turns out the 30th is not the date. So this will be the middle of the first three shows, February 19th, March 3rd, and then March 19th back down to the Laughing Skull Lounge. And so it's going to be interesting to see how many tickets we can sell in relatively short notice. So I would like you to buy a ticket and, frankly, tell your people in Atlanta that this show is too much. Nick and I made a joint post on Instagram Monday evening that said it's the hottest new comedy show in the country. And I believe that. I believe that 100%. And I guarantee it. Encourage you to tell anyone that you know in Atlanta to come over. We're going to have the same group of people. The plan is to have the same group of people for every show until someone can't make it. You know, I'm going to certainly try to accommodate this original crew. But when I conceptualized the idea, it's a bit strong. But when I was thinking about what it would be like, I was thinking there would be a rotating cast of participants. But it went so well on right out of the gate that I don't want to, it's not broken. So why fix it? Why say, oh, so-and-so dropped out, so-and-so's back in? Anytime I can get LeVar, Flo, Nick, and Zane, I'm going to get them. There might be times where they're, you know, have a gig in, LeVar did a gig a couple years ago in Nigeria. Zane's been to Saudi Arabia. I mean, these people get around doing stand-up comedy. Nick Murphy is a rocket ship headed for the pantheon of the great comics in the world. And there are going to be times where some people can't make the show. But I'm going to keep plugging along and say, hey, would you all get on your private jets? Would you all, like Fast and the Furious, would you all fly in from different parts of the globe and put this thing together? So that's you're getting the OG crew. So it'll be interesting. All right, let's stop wanking so tremendously. We're challenging ourselves to sell tickets in a week's time. I think the Punchline confirmed and put up the ticket link on a Saturday, and you're hearing this on Tuesday, and the show is on Sunday. So we need to drive some sales. And you know what? It's the punchline. You can get 200 people in there. So I would love 50 on a Sunday evening. But, you know, don't be shy. If you want to buy 200 tickets, it would be a, you know what it'd be great for? Bring your bachelorette party. You know, bring your bros. What's that called? What's it called? Bachelor party. Bachelor or bachelorette party would be terrific. Normally, bachelorette parties are among the most reviled parts of, well, any public event. But certainly stand-up comedy shows, people generally do not respond favorably to bachelorette parties. But this is for your frat reunion. This is for your bachelor party, your bachelorette party. Anything you want would be a great time to come over. It's 6:30. If you want, you can be home by 9 o'clock on a Sunday. You can have a couple of pops. So we're gonna try to sell some tickets. We're gonna try to sell some tickets. Let me know what you think of the promo video that that Nick made and we shared on our Instagrams. Yes, Joe Smith. You can let me know via Instagram message or email the podcast, as so many of you have been with your support. Yes, Joe Smith @gmail.com. I realized that it was kind of a... Here, now I'm going to veer into just for a moment the self-helpy part, or at least the... Yeah, at least a little, you know, thinking about the mechanisms inside the individual. When faced with an opportunity to succeed or fail, humans approach or avoid that opportunity along a spectrum from I don't want to approach and try to do that thing to hell yes, I'm going to approach that thing and I'm going to succeed. Okay, right? So on one hand, it's, I need to wet my, do you hear my ice cubes? Am I the only person in the world that drinks ice water? Sometimes I feel like I am. Yes, because you all drink it out of bottles. You're killing the environment while I'm killing myself with Atlanta Public Water. So here's what I was trying to get at. There is an opportunity that presents itself to you. You could strive, persist, execute, handle it, and be very successful at it and come out the other side with a tremendous victory for yourself, a great gain and accomplishment. On the other hand, you could try to accomplish that task and you could fail, right? And not succeed and not have the accomplishment and the glory and the spoils of achieving the objective, right? So it can go either way. You can win or you cannot win. And how we approach that event, that inciting incident, I suppose, not an inciting incident, that event, let's call it, that opportunity, varies on a spectrum, I think, on a dimension, from hell yes, I'm going to try that and succeed, and no way am I going to lose or fail, all the way to the other end of the spectrum to no way, I am not going to try to accomplish that thing. I'm not going to take on the challenge because, you can see where this is going, I might not be successful. I might fail at it. And then if I failed at it, I would have no one to blame but myself. And then I'd have to have a long look in the mirror and feel terrible about myself. I've talked about this over the years, probably in different contexts. What I'm really talking about is the fear of failure or the motive to achieve, the motive to be successful. Both, and here's the thing, in deciding to approach the task, achieve, persist, succeed, win, whatever it is, it's totally logical to do that, right? It makes sense. You can say, well, I'm doing that because if I do, then A, B, and C, the good things will accrue to me. But if you don't do it, if you are on the other side and you have fear of failure, you also logically cannot take on that challenge. You can find reasons and rationale where you can say, you know what, I just don't have enough time. I'm too busy. My leg hurts. I've been sick. My team is down. Whatever the case may be, you can find reason to not approach that event, to let yourself off the hook, essentially, so that you don't risk failing and falling on your face. I've talked about this in the term, now it's coming to me, the term, the context, which I've discussed this. You've talked out loud in your basement by yourself into a microphone discussing this with you is with stand-up comedy. Like, there are times unequivocally or unmistakably where you see comics who are good, but they don't have swagger and they don't have confidence, or they could be, they're funny, let's say, and they get on a hot show or they get an opportunity and they intentionally tank it. They either literally go in the tank and get shit-faced or smashed of some other sort, or they just fuck around and sabotage their own sets so that when they come off, they don't have to think, wow, I'm not that funny, I'm not that good, I don't have what it takes. They can say, no, I dicked around. I caused my own failure, but in a different way where it wasn't like they tried to succeed. There are other times where some comics get the opportunity and it might be, holy cow, this is high stakes, high stress. You're following murderers. There are industry people, influential people in the room. And they just go for it and they crush, and then good things come from that, right? A little bit like my friend Alvin Quiet told you about, who got passed at the Cellar. He could have, hey, do you want to come down and run 5 minutes for us and maybe we'll pass you? He could have easily said, I'd love to, but I already have a show. Or I'd love to, but I have to go out of town. He could have found a reason to avoid potentially falling on his face. But he didn't. And he won. And he got passed at the Comedy Cellar. Shout out to Alvin Quiet. So, what I'm talking about is, I'm sorry if this sounds so lectury. I was a long way of me getting to, this is what I'm doing with the punchline. The punchline said, hey, March 30th is not going to work for us anymore. We were going to do the show Thursday, March 30th. However, it's not going to work for us anymore. However, if you want, we can do it March 5th, which is 8 days away from when they made that generous offer to me. So nice, so supportive. These comedy clubs want this show to win. They want to support it. And they're saying, hey, do you want to do this show here in 8 days? Which is incredible, like I said, incredibly generous, supportive, but also presents a risk. And the risk exists and has not yet been successfully navigated. Because the risk is, well, much less than what if the show doesn't go well, what if nobody shows up? What if no one shows up? People showed up with the Laughing Skull because it was the very first one, because we made a promo video and played it in the club, because the club emailed their patrons and said, hey, we have this great new show we think a lot of, and also because people knew me, people knew Nick, people knew Zane, people knew Flo, and people knew LeVar. And also the other thing that's going on here for non-industry, non-comic people is, I've listed five performers, the five of us, who perform all the time in Atlanta. We do stand-up comedy. So people may perceive, oh, I can see them next time. It's just human nature. No one gets mad at that. That's why people, you know, if you do stand-up comic, your friends don't come to your shows unless it's like some special occasion for them or for you. So, and the other thing about the Laughing Skull is it has incredible walk. There's a lot of stuff around it. Well, I was going to say walk-up traffic, walk-up. They have walk-ups. I don't know how many people walk up and buy a ticket, but it's in the middle of Midtown Atlanta where there's tons of foot traffic. Who knows why people showed up, but they showed up and that was great. There is a chance that no one shows up to the Punchline, though I know they've already sold a few tickets. Come on, let's go. Tell your people in Atlanta this is the show. So if no one shows up, then the Punchline very well, despite the fact that they said they wanted to support it and nurture it, and they had no expectations, they told me, for sales now on a Thursday or a Sunday, that they would support the show, give it room to grow. They're people of their word. I don't expect that, like, if, you know, four people showed up, they'd say, you know, Joe, what the hell is this? You said it was going to be sold out. And I'd say, like, no. But still, I would say that I would have never told you anything like that at all. You told me that you would support this. So, yeah, let's do it. Let's see if we can get people in there. So I was aware, I'm still aware that it could, you know, no one could show up. I hope that's not the case. That's why I'm encouraging you to tell all your people. And if you went to the first one, come see it in a different venue. And you'll see it's a really sweet, sweet place to do stand-up comedy and laugh. So I should not try. I should find an excuse to not do this. I could have very easily said to them, well, why don't you make it for the 30th and that'll give us a month and a half to promote the show. But I didn't. Because I'm greedy, and I want this thing to move fast. So I said, let's see what happens, and we're going to see what happens on Sunday. I have this podcast. I have one more podcast on Friday where you will hear me talk about the show. I will not spend the whole time talking about it, hopefully, like I'm not going to do tonight or this Tuesday when you're – it's Monday night when I'm – late Monday night when I'm recording this. So I chose to go for it. Let's make it happen, because I'm not afraid of failure, obviously. The punch, I believe that we can get people out additionally. The Punchline, and then finally the Punchline said that they would be supportive and let the show grow without me having to. And, you know, frankly, how many places people are selling out the Punchline on a Sunday night? You know, big time headliners with huge followings? Yes, but lots of people aren't. You know, it's a Sunday night. So we'll see. If you are not in the city of Atlanta and you want to support the show, just go to my reel or Nick's reel where it starts with the guy. It's the promo reel. And share it to your stories. Copy the link. Text it to your friends. Say, this show looks hilarious. And it is. It's absolutely hilarious, and I can imagine no better way to pass my Sunday afternoon than trying to make my friends and fellow comics laugh and having them make me laugh. Just like I said, big, big, big laughs. Not that was good, that was funny, right? Which maybe that Marjorie Taylor Greene thing might be like, oh, that's good, that was clever. If a Pornhub category were a person, it would be Marjorie Taylor Greene. It has everything that you want. It's got some CrossFitness, it has some bleached blonde hair, and it has just a little, well, it's got a lot of racism. That's like clever. I'm talking about what's your problem, big, big laughs. So share generously, okay? I want to also mention that I'm going to kind of get away from the self-helpy thing, but what I was saying about the fear of failure, and the motive to achieve, they're both logical. You can find logical, you can find rationales for taking either action. There's reasons for trying very hard and persisting and getting knocked down and getting back on the horse, getting rejected and keep going. And then there's also reasons for, oh no, I can't take this on right now. It doesn't really make sense. I'm not, you know, maybe next time it comes around, and that might have been the only shot you had. And please don't forget, you know, if you engage in either of these behaviors, because when you, because you probably naturally feel good, chemically feel good when you engage the motive to achieve and you are successful. And you probably don't feel good on the flip side when you know it was fear of failure that led you to bomb that set intentionally, or it led you to show up drunk for a meeting because you were scared, a test or whatever, because you were scared to fail. And remember, and this is where I really empathize with failure. It's not the failure that people are afraid of. It's what the failure represents and means and signals and potentially compels. Failure implies shame and rejection. It doesn't imply, it drives. If you fail, you feel ashamed. And what we're really afraid of, that shame feeling, is that the group is going to reject us. I failed. I'm embarrassed. Not like someone who's embarrassed to listen to this podcast, but I am embarrassed. And the group says, no, we do not like you. It's what bombing feels like. It's exactly what bombing feels like. Bombing saying, hey, maybe next time consider the fear of failure. The bombing feels, it's such an utter, pure form of rejection that it makes you think, it's designed to, you chose the path to be successful, to try to persist and have a positive outcome, but the crowd said, no, you should have considered sabotaging this to save yourself the injury and hurt and ickiness that you feel inside. Anyway, so that's what it's, and we don't want to be rejected by the group. That's very adaptive, because, all right, dude. Anyway, I'm going to try to, because, well, why is it adaptive to not get rejected by the group? Because life is fucking hard and you need people. What's your problem has proven itself in 1 month's time to highlight how much we need other people for me. And the power of the group. Take five funny people, put them on stage by them individually. They're all going to have a good time. The crowd's going to like them. You put five of them together, and it's, you know, some superhero shit. Is, I mean, well, that sounds a little over my, you know what I mean? I'm not saying we're the great, but it's like very, it's a tremendous power. You never, for the first show, no one ever had to carry it. There was always someone to, everyone was rowing in the same direction. Everyone was passing the ball and scoring the ball. So you didn't feel like, oh my gosh, I need to score 100 points tonight. No, I just need to do my job and, you know, maybe get it. What was I, the point guard? Get everyone in. I'm a scoring guard. So I'm getting everyone involved, but I'm also getting my shots up too. So the power of the group. We need each other, and the fear of failure is the fear of getting falling flat on our face, feeling shame, and then feeling like you know, we're being rejected from the group. So there, I'm gonna move away. Well, I guess I'm not gonna move quite away from that, because I got some I realized that someone emailed in their questions or their problems, or what's your problem, right before the show. And I think they must have thought that I was looking at them live on the show, because they indicated that they were in the crowd. So I'm just going to read the problems and we'll go from there. So he says, my problem It starts by saying, you are two, one. You are two. Oh, maybe he's saying there are two. Shout out to us, by the way, for giving each other incredible latitude in our typographical errors in texts and emails, because I guess he's saying there are two. Maybe he did voice to text, but it says you are two. One is, so this is his first problem, I'm too, that he wants us to solve, I suppose. One is, I'm too lazy to work out and I'm just not getting it done. Well, why do you want to work out? I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. You don't want to work out. That's not bad on you. If you wanted to work out, you would work out. That's what I believe. I would also encourage you to think about what working out, what you believe the yield of that is. Is it like a longer life? Is it more attractive to other people? Is it the, you know, the self-esteem from having accomplished something? I would think about that. That's what I, one is, I'm too lazy to work out and I'm just not getting it done. Well, here's what you do. Realize you don't want to work out and you should be doughy and you should be slovenly. That's who you are. You know what I mean? It bothers you. It what bothers you is trying to be someone that you're not. Does that make sense? I think that's what it is, because if you wanted to work out, you wanted those other things I said to feel the self-esteem boost of making the accomplishment, maybe being attractive to other people, or whatever the third thing was, healthier, longer life, then you would just do it. Right? And you know what it is? It might be fear of failure. I didn't know it was going there. Because you can tell yourself that you're not in shape, you don't feel good, you're not living the life you want because you're not working out. Rather than working out, getting in fucking peak shape, and then still realizing what you're bringing to the common equation or the common population is just not enough. So you might have there in your quiver of excuses, not excuses, and I'm not beating you up, man. I'm just saying, like, maybe it's fear of failure. If you get into shape and you are, you know, like a midfielder who plays for Juventus level shape, and life is still not going the way you want it to, then it might require deeper soul searching and some discomfort that you know what, you should probably embrace and you should probably go through, I think. Get in shape, dude. Get in shape and know that it's not lazy. It's if you have worked out in your life, you know it's not hard. I mean, you just have to get in the, you know, put on shorts, go to wherever you do it, whether you run outside or you go to a gym. Put on shorts and you're at the gym, you know, standing there for 15 minutes. I'm suspecting, I'm talking wildly out of my ass. You know, if you were in perfect physical health and the rest of your life that wasn't in, and maybe you'd live in a great life and you're just like, dude, I have a great life, I just don't like working out. Well, then fucking don't do it. There, I'm giving you the two solutions. Maybe not that. Maybe they're more self-helpy than actually comedically. Than comedic, but if your life is going exactly the way you want it, give a shit about working out, dude. Take cholesterol medicine. Do you, right? Don't try to be someone you're not. But on the flip side, if you do know working out makes you feel better about yourself and sets you up, and your life is not exactly the way you want it, then get yourself in Juventus midfielder shape, Andrea Pirlo shape, and then see what happens and maintain that shape. Because being in the peak shape in your life, not being exactly where it is not going to make all that stuff fall into place. It's going to be addressing one component of your performance in your whole life. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out of my ass. I mean, I'm sure I'm talking out of my ass, but that's it. Do it and then be prepared for it not to answer all your questions. It's like comics say and people say, like, I quit drinking and I realized all my problems are still there, so I started drinking again. Well, that's one way of looking at it, but also, you know, stay not drinking and try to wade through your problems if you want to approach the good outcome. If you want to challenge and you want to persist through obstacles and difficulty to emerge the other side victorious, then that's the task. Get in shape, try out for Juventus, and see what happens. So that's my thought on your first problem. And then the second one is, I'm not happy with the aging process. But you know what? I would say is you're probably not alone. You know? Like, I don't know anybody who is happy with the aging process. Who's like, hell yeah, I'm getting older and I'm becoming more brittle. And I'm breaking down. And you know what? I'm getting weaker and the environment knows it. They can look at me and the predators can see me and know that I would be an easier mark than I was when I was 25 years old. Right? I empathize, dude. I'm going to be however old I am, 60s, 70s or something when my daughter... I'm going to be 95 years old when my daughter's a teenager. And I'm going to want to fucking kill some teenage kids. But some bro from a high school would throttle me. I'm not happy about that. That's why I'm going to buy some more firearms. Some more firearms. No one's happy with the aging process. So that's not a problem. And now I'm fucking with you a little bit because I think these two things suggest you maybe have some things you want to talk about, not necessarily with me or the podcast or what's your problem, but maybe some things you want to explore, dig into with someone who someone has a podcast. You're right back in. I don't know if you listen to the podcast or not. This was in response to the prompt for the, excuse me, for the show, writing in your problem, but to say that you're not happy with the aging, but maybe you're just trying to throw me a bone too and say, dude, you guys need some help here out of the gate. Here's my problem. I'm too lazy to work out. Solved. Don't work out. If your life's going well, then don't work out. Take cholesterol medicine. Try to eat more healthily than you are, and be who you are. But if you know that working out is not going to solve all your problems, but it's part of getting you in a place where you might be able to rule that out as not one of your issues, then I would try to play as a holding midfielder, an attacking midfielder, like Andrea Pirlo of Juventus. And then the other thing he said was, and this is where I figured he must have been under the assumption that we had like a live problem thing, which it could evolve to sometime, right? It could evolve to, you know, questions coming in online or people posing them on, I'm not on Twitter, I'm not on TikTok, posing it to, so we could do this. Like, we're grown. We could figure out a way to do it. Instagram Live, maybe. He must have thought we had a live feed going, so he said, when did he send this? He sent the first one. Oh, so he sent his first problems 15 minutes before the show started last week. And then the second email he sent is right after the show ended, an hour and 45 minutes later. And he said, so I guess I'm going home without my problem solved? Question mark. And I'm gonna cut you some. I'm gonna. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna assume positive intent. I'm not going to project into that statement. So I guess I'm going home without my problem solved. I'm not gonna presume you're being passive aggressive. You know why? I'm projecting that because that's how people in my life have acted, and have at times given me that terrible habit of being passive aggressive. So maybe you don't mean that. Maybe you're just saying, so I guess I'm going home without my problem solved. And you're not being passive aggressive and whiny like a baby, like people in my context have been across my life. And like I said, at times, given me that terrible, terrible habit of passive aggression, which I try to avoid. I try to avoid religiously. So I'm not going to presume that you're being whiny. Should I really be looking to comics for those answers anyway? Exclamation mark. Question mark. Well, yeah. Because we know. Anyway, it was a great show. Nice job. Well, hell yeah, dude. Thank you. And now I presume you're just being lighthearted when you said, so I'm going to go home without my questions answered. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. And maybe we'll work on getting a live. Also, I had an idea at 5 in the morning when I woke up thinking about this morning. And then I'll let you go. What if we just chop up all the clips, put them online for people to see, but then we keep all the episodes locked behind a wall and people have to buy them? I'm waiting for your response, audience. Please tell me. That's one way we could do it. The other way is to put it online, let everybody watch it for fucking free, have YouTube make all the money, and then compel people to go into the shows, and then we have to charge them $48 to be in the Fox Theater. 5,000-seater. My daughter and I had a Sunday evening to ourselves because my wife went and saw the Tina Turner musical with some girlfriends. I told you, my wife is going out a lot. I mean, she keeps saying with her girlfriends, but I'll take your opinions on that too. I told you I have a vision for where this thing goes, and it goes, and I'm going to stop like pretending like or acting like I'm. It's like Brian Billick said, if you don't think you're the guy, you're not. Okay. So I'm going to continue to aim high. Let me know your thoughts about, should we just put up clips and then lock up the shows and you can buy the shows, or should we put the shows online and then have people come buy tickets? It's probably going to be that, right? I mean, that seems to be the prevailing way business is done now for people who do this kind of thing. I guess so. We'll lock some of it up. Anyway, I hope that you rally people. I'm grateful. And I won't, once this thing sort of prove, the concept is proven, but once I feel like the foundation has hardened a little bit, I'll back off talking about it so much. It's just, I'm really, really excited about it. I hope you can tell that. And I appreciate your support and people who've written in and said, that's a great idea. And oh my gosh, you want to really bring some positivity and bring people together. Yeah. You're in a room with a bunch of strangers. It's like strangers on an airplane. Where you tell your intimate shit. We laugh at it, not at you. We have a good time. You're less alone. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. LNC, I hope this was enough to get you home from your hard work at the hospital. I look forward to seeing everyone this Sunday, March 5th at 6:30 p.m. at the Punchline in Buckhead, Atlanta. That's right. Uptown Atlanta is where the Punchline is. Come out and we'll have a great time. Thank you. And write in all that. Bye.